It's Alex and Storm here.
It is.
We are moving up in the world, and we'd like you to know. So, some developments in the last week. The Societies Council has allocated us an undisclosed sum of funds.
Guys, it's double digits, I'll tell you that much.
It's double digits. So, the good cast is going from strength to strength. Thank you so much for being loyal listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And to add to our inflated self of sense of ego,
mm-hmm.
We were stalking the corridors of power this morning.
Yes, we were, Alex. And we spoke to the very own director of Good Enough, Rebecca Matthews.
We went all the way to the top, and Rebecca, let us tell you, is absolutely lovely.
Rebecca is going to do such an amazing job for Good Enough and has such wonderful ideas, and she was just so warm and welcoming.
Yeah, and she's seriously impressive. So she started out in Cambridge studying modern languages. She studied German and French.
Mm-hmm. And then she continued to do her master's in Cambridge and then her master's in history of art at London University.
So Rebecca has come to Good Enough from being the director of the European Capital of Culture, Our House. And after that role, because she did such a great job,
she was awarded the Knight's Cross Order of the Danbrog in 2017 by Her Majesty Queen Margrethe II for services to Denmark and Danish arts and culture.
And this is something that essentially never gets given to someone who's not
Danish
originally.
Unprecedented.
So it's pretty impressive.
So Rebecca also, her previous roles involved being on the British Council as director for New York and Global Partnership. And she was also previously director in Australia and the director in Wales.
For the British Council, yeah. And she's also been head of government relations and director of strategic projects at the CEO's office of the Sydney Opera House, and held roles in the Australian Council for the Arts.
So, to put it in a few words, Rebecca is seriously impressive, and I think we at Good Enough are very, very fortunate to have her.
Yeah, and what was really impressive as well was the way she talked about not having, you know, a strategy that she's come to just place upon Good Enough. She's really focused on listening and looking around and really getting a sense of the community that she's definitely been aware of in the past. She talks about having stayed at the Good Enough Club in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's really interested in not making any assumptions and just, you know.
Absolutely. And like a true leader, listening first. So we hope you guys enjoy this recording. We recorded it in Rebecca's office and it was just lovely.
So you studied modern languages, was your undergraduate. Yeah. And where was that?
At Trinity Hall, Cambridge.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, fantastic place to study, and really enjoyed it. I wasn't really sure that I wanted to study modern languages. I also loved history at A-level, but in the end I went for French and German, and I'm really glad I did because the literature and the language kind of fitted perfectly for me.
Great. And do you still speak French and German?
I did speak pretty well both languages, but to be honest, for the last 25 years and here comes the age reveal. I haven't really used them so much. I speak Danish because I've been in Denmark for the past 5 or 6 years. I'm married to a Dane. I have a son who's bilingual. But my Danish isn't great. I can understand a lot more than I can say. It's a hard language, actually, to be active in, to, you know, to write and to speak. It's much easier to read and to be a kind of passive learner in all languages, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's got some very strange pronunciation.
Can you give us a good phrase we could use if we go to Denmark?
Oh my goodness, there are many good phrases you could use if we go to Denmark.
Maybe like a pickup line that works.
I really hope that my family are not listening to this podcast. What would you say as a pickup line? Good day, but I'm good.
Okay, how do you say
it? G'day, hello, voren gode, how's it going?
Voren gode, how's it going? And you did it in a sexy way, like a wink too?
You could try that, okay, I brilliant. Haven't.
Okay, okay, brilliant.
Rebecca would like to note that she did not do that.
I didn't wink when I said the line.
So have you come straight from Denmark? Was that where you were working last?
Yeah, I was working in Aarhus, which is the second biggest city in Denmark. It's a big university city, actually. It's a fantastic university. And it's the youngest city in Denmark. Really kind of young, vibrant population, around 300, 350,000 people. And I was living there, my partner's from there originally. And I ended up being there running European Capital of Culture. So that's where I've come straight from, back into the heart of London.
Wow.
Yeah. Two very different cities.
And Rebecca, what do you think? I mean, that's an amazing job that you have, and such an amazing opportunity to learn, especially in a city like that. What are you hoping to pass through or pass on to Good Enough or London?
Well, I learned a lot of things just through working with Danes, actually. I think you really don't understand anywhere until you study there or you work there. So when you visit a country, even if you visit it regularly, as I was doing in Denmark for a long, long time, I don't even really understand it at all until you're immersed in the culture, like living the culture. And I learned a great deal from being in Denmark. First of all, I learned very early on in my job that there you don't really make a decision and see it through. You consult on a decision. So I learned a lot about much more democratic ways of working and much more democratic ways of leadership of organisations. So that was really fascinating for me. I think what I learned on that project particularly was the value of pacing yourself. I think I learned a lot about leadership in terms of kind of mindful leadership. I learned a lot about the importance of having values driving an organisation that you work in. So our European Capital of Culture was really built around three very important Danish values, which diversity, democracy, and sustainability. You know, they really do genuinely imbue Danish life. And you just have to look at the social welfare system there to see that.
Yeah.
So working on a program in which, you know, you're delivering 450 plus arts and cultural events, which have to in some way relate to or be threaded by those values was a fantastic way.
And they actually follow through. It's not just values written down. Wow.
They absolutely had to be part of what we were doing. So if you were, you know, going to work with us on a cultural project in the European Capital of Culture in 2017, your project, your activity, your arts event in some way had to address one of those values. It's really important.
And I read somewhere that Denmark was voted, like, it has, or statistically, it's the lowest level of corruption in the world. So maybe they follow through.
I think it might. Is it one? I don't know what it is. I know there's the other ones up there are Iceland, although that may have fallen off a bit in the past. But Iceland and New Zealand.
New Zealand,
I think,
okay.
Is up there as well.
Probably because we have a female prime minister now.
She's great.
That's probably why. Yeah.
She's wonderful. Yeah.
And what I also wanted to ask was your time in New York as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I've been with the British Council for a long time, and I'd kind of worked for the British Council and then come out of it, which is, I think, a very sensible thing to do, rather than staying in an organisation for years and years and never seeing the outside of anything. So when I was first in Australia, I was the arts manager for the British Council in Australia and had a fantastic time. And then I decided I wanted to stay in Australia. And so I started working in other roles. Then I came back to the British Council as the country director in Australia X number of years later. I can't remember how many years later it would be, 8, 9, maybe 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst I was there, the British Council has always had an office in Washington. It opened up an office on the West Coast in the US, and it had a New York office, a kind of small office that worked closely with the UN. And I always said to myself, you know, if I was going to say where's my dream job in the British Council, it would be running the New York office, because, I love New York, but I also believed a lot in the work that we were doing there. Then I went from Australia to become country director Wales, which is fantastic and very interesting, working in Wales in a different language and learning the Welsh language, working in a very powerfully proud bilingual community.
Definitely.
And working in a devolved administration, also really fascinating. And then from there, the job came up in New York. And I applied for it and I was...
And you got it?
I got it.
That's amazing.
And off I went to New York with the British Council. And my job there really was fascinating. I had to run the New York office, but also I was director of global partnerships in the British Council, and that meant working with all these really interesting American foundations. We were working with Carnegie and Ford and Henry Luce Foundation and Knight and MacArthur and all of them to build projects in other parts of the world. So a lot of the work that we fundraised for would be for projects in Middle East, North Africa, which is how actually the British Council defined one of its regions. in important projects in things like health and education and women's education. So it was a fantastic job and I loved it. The problem was my partner, Christina, doesn't love New York.
Oh.
And so we had a very funny conversation when I first moved there, which was I took the job and I promised her that if a job ever came up in Denmark that I didn't need to speak fluent Danish for, was running a big international program, was in the arts and cultural field and in her hometown, and of course I would take it. And never for a second did I think that Aarhus would become European Capital of Culture.
Oh, my word.
And then the year after it was designated European Capital of Culture, and she gave me a call and said, you know what, I think a job is coming up for you. And I couldn't go back on my
No,
work.
You couldn't.
What were the chances?
Yeah,
though?
Seriously, literally.
Yeah.
You were meant to be there.
Yeah.
I kind of think I was.
I think so.
I kind of think
I think you were.
But it was hard to wrench away from New York because that was a really interesting job. And a hard city, actually. Great city, but hard city to live in.
They say it's cutthroat, don't they?
It's fast.
Mm-hmm.
It for me, it feels even faster than London. You know, it's fast.
I would imagine, though, in a role like that as well, you're, you know, being invited to and attending some of the most interesting cultural events that are going on in a city like New York, which just has these things going on every day of the week.
Yeah, it's a bit like being good enough. But of course, and the British Council had a really strong arts program as well, which we were running with a number of the American partners. Actually, what I found really interesting about that job was working with some of those American foundations, which have huge intellectual capacities working for them, and really kind of digging deep into the meaning and purpose of why you're supporting and funding important projects in the US and other parts of the world, and finding synergies between that was actually fascinating. Yeah. I mean, working with Carnegie was fascinating.
And now, I think, Good Enough Members, because you only officially started October this year, is that
first
correct?
First of October.
Wow.
Day one.
And it feels like you've already, I don't know, it just feels like you've been here for years.
Does it?
I don't know, it does, yeah, for some odd reason. It just feels like you just belong here.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I just thought you meant you might be tired of me.
Yes, no, just as if it wasn't even a transition wasn't even needed. It just seemed very smooth and it just seemed that... Yeah, like you were always meant to be Good Enough. So what we wanted to ask is, what led you to Good Enough? What, how did you even hear about Good Enough?
What led me to... Well, so many things actually led me to... I had heard about Good Enough because I had stayed here a long time ago when I was working for the British Council and I was overseas. If I came to London and I was, you know, had meetings in the UK, I would always stay at Good Enough.
The Good Enough Club, okay.
And actually, who put me onto it? It's a young alumnus from here. Mm-hmm. Not young anymore, I should say young. Tim Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
He had been here. I don't know what he studied, I can't remember, but he was working for the British Council in Washington.
Wow.
And he said, if you're ever in London and you don't want to stay, don't stay at all those other hotels that, you know, are dreadful and rip you off. Go and stay at the Good Enough Club. And so I did. And then I completely fell in love with it and I stayed here. But I didn't have any sense of what the college was about. Therein, I think, come onto this lies one of the issues for the college. I would come here and I would stay here, sometimes even eat breakfast in hall, in the Great Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So not really have an understanding of what the college was about. This is a few years ago now. So I knew of it. And then when I was coming to the end of what I had done in Denmark, I was kind of looking around and having conversations with various recruitment agencies and headhunters, and I had a call with the one who was recruiting this job, and they said, this job's coming up, and it's a Good Enough College, and I said something like, oh, you stay there, and they said, well, it's fantastically interesting, let's send you the information on it. And so I read it, and I thought, God, I've been staying there for so many years, I
didn't
know
this.
These things about all these incredible members and the values that place is founded on, and then began the process of looking into whether I was right for the role and it was right for me. And I think we kind of found a match in lots of different ways. I think for me, the match is about being a values-driven organisation. You know, coming from a background in cultural relations and cultural diplomacy, I have to be working in an organisation where I feel it's about people.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the kind of people-to-people diplomacy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be working, I think, in an organisation where you have, we used to talk about this a lot in the British Council, people on the ground talking softly to each other. That's really, really important. And the idea of tolerance and global citizenship and all of those kind of things. I mean, you could almost take the kind of strapline of the British Council and drop it onto Good Enough and vice versa. You know, the British Council is the exchange of knowledge, ideas, and discoveries between people.
Absolutely.
You could use that.
So you really actually... You've...
So there was a fit for me.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a huge believer in the power and the opportunity of education. And I just think, yeah, what a privilege to come and work somewhere where you get to be interviewed by and meet and listen to some of the brightest minds. I mean, I feel like a complete underachiever here. And
that is hilarious.
When I talk to members, I'm blown away with every conversation.
So it sounds like one of the things that you've identified about Good Enough that might need to improve is people say who have an awareness of the college by staying in the club, knowing the full amount that goes on here and maybe advertising that better. Are there other changes that or other kind of improvements that you're looking to achieve now that you're a director?
It's really interesting, you know. I was asked, I think on my second day, by a member, what's your vision? Of course, I'm never going to say that on my second day.
Yeah.
I might have ideas,
yeah.
But it was very early on. And also, I think if I had been articulating with any clarity on, you know, in the first few weeks of this job, what I think we should be doing, I wouldn't be doing what I think is really important to do, and that is absolutely paying attention,
mm-hmm.
listening,
mm-hmm.
listening some more, and learning. Because when you look at this place, there are lots of things that just aren't broken and work incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I come from an arts background, as you know, so it's pretty rare to step into an organisation where people say, well, it's on a relatively a secure financial footing, we have a long-term financial plan
mm-hmm.
in place, this is a very well-maintained estate,
mm-hmm.
the property,
yeah.
and we have a long-term plan to make sure we keep it like that for members. Well, that's a bit of a gift, really, to come in and say, this is the thing in place. I mean, we have to maintain a very strong financial underpinning. It's incredibly important for the college and our members going forward. But there's plenty of opportunity now, I think, to start to look at how we use that to build our core charitable purpose more and look at the more kind of creative purpose of the college around that. And what I mean by that is, for me, the place is not sorted, but the place is in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
What I think we need to refresh is having a good look at our purpose. And I say that because, you know, we are in a particularly fractious time in Europe and around the world. And I think that in many ways, I've looked at this place as a kind of ideal microcosm for how the world should be. So I think there's a story to tell about that and Good Enough. And I don't think enough people know it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, is, you know, early observations. These are not things I'm necessarily going to do immediately. But what I'm thinking of is we're having a strategic review, and
mm-hmm.
that will happen in the first half of next year. And I think that will look at refreshing our vision and our mission and our values, all of those things that really drive us. We'll have some clear targets and KPIs around that so we can measure impact and achievement year on year. I think it's really important.
Mm.
And I think we will have a really good look at our purpose and ask, what is the purpose of Good Enough College now?
Mm-hmm.
And for the next 2 to 3 generations of members who are going to be here, and for the membership now. Because that's not throwing out traditions or values or any of the things that make this place really incredibly unique and special. What it is doing, I think, is enhancing them and saying, how do we make us the most apposite we can be for 21st century membership? How do we become fit for purpose for the future that all of these members, most, you know, these young members, young of mind anyway, if they're not anything else, you know, really are going to go out in the world and take with them from this place.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important piece of work that we will be doing, and I know the board is very keen on driving a strategic review. The other thing I think I'm keen to look at is the communications of this place and getting even more consistency and clarity around the messages, a kind of cohesive set of messages that talk about the DNA of our organisation and DNA of our community, which is really, really powerful, actually. And again, that is not in any way undermining or changing where we've come from. It is, again, just giving a little lift to who we are. I mean, if you if you're doing an elevator pitch on Good Enough College, it's pretty hard within 30 seconds to not lose someone in the first line of saying, well, we're the best postgraduate residential community in Boston. Not because it's not a fantastic place, but because, you know, I think we need to become sharper and noisier around who we are. And that won't mean we lose our cohesion or our intimacy, or all of the things that make it the world's best kept secret. But it will mean we attract more opportunities for partnership, more opportunities, I hope, for fundraising, for scholarships and bursaries.
Absolutely.
And more opportunities, I think, to continue to invite membership from all places and all pockets. And that's really important to me. So there's a piece of work I want to do on that. I want us to build some more partnerships, deeper partnerships with like-minded national and international organisations. Another piece of work I think that lies ahead. Fundraising is a big thing. And all of those things actually pour down into the most important thing for me, which is the member experience and offer. That's what it's all about. That's why we all get up in the staff here every day, is to make sure that that's the best thing it can be. So that, you know, every international postgraduate who's coming to study in London wants to be part of our community and nowhere else. And all of those things stream into making this place affordable, and making it accessible, increasing our scholarships and bursaries, doing all of the things that I believe are really important.
Absolutely. And on that note, when you talk about collaborating with other institutions, organisations, I didn't know this. I found out earlier this year, but apparently we have like a sister college in Denmark, actually.
Yeah, Regensen.
That's it.
To keep beating us at football.
Not this year.
This year we'll come back.
I think so. I mean, I had no idea that we actually... So maybe, you know, Good Enough and Regensen can start this chain reaction of creating more colleges like this.
Well, more connections, certainly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also with Massey College in Toronto.
I didn't know there was another one. Massey College,
yeah.
I think it's
in Toronto. Wow. I'm sure it is, yeah. It's Canadian.
So we're like Hogwarts, and the rest of them are like... The other different schools.
Always bring it back to Harry Potter.
It's important,
which
Alex.
I guess is a big sell of Good Enough that
it
is very light.
That's why you came, wasn't it, Rebecca?
Well, no.
Because it's so like Hogwarts.
Yes.
Not really. but actually, one of the things I think is interesting and exciting about it, particularly for students who come from overseas and are studying in London, is that it does give you a very strong sense of British institutions and you know, British values. And I think the programme, particularly the Dean's programme that takes members into the city, into the Old Bailey, into the House of Lords. I mean, that's fascinating for me. So it must be fascinating, I think, for people who are coming from other parts of the world, just to get a sense of it. I mean, it's not British life in its entirety, as we know, but it is a component of where the kind of, you know, our British values are formed. I think that's really interesting, and I think this college has a good access and network around that.
It's the best of both worlds, and because London is a bit of can be a dark, scary place, it's so nice that you feel like you belong somewhere to this community.
Yeah.
And Rebecca, so members, I'm sure you haven't met or you haven't had a chance to meet all of the members.
I haven't had a chance to meet all members yet, no. I try to meet as many as I can, and there's more things planned as we move into next term, more things that I intend to meet more members.
Well, this is a great way of just members being able to get to know you, and they've obviously heard all these amazing things that you have planned. And what are some other things you could tell members about yourself? So you said
you want to know?
You're here with your partner, Christina, and your lovely son, is it?
They don't live here. They're still living in Denmark.
Oh.
And the reason they're still living in Denmark is because my son is just turning 14 with all the joys that brings. And he is in school, very settled, and, you know, moving into the curriculum for his exams next year or in 18 months' time. And we just can't lift him out of that because he's very settled. So my partner is a teacher in a grammar school. She teaches philosophy and Danish Scandinavian literature.
Wow.
So she also teaches in a very specific Scandinavian world. So they're staying there for a little bit longer. And then I'm settling down here and then they'll join me.
Okay.
In a year and a half.
Okay, good.
But they've been here, they visited here, they've lived in Woolley Jean with me for a while.
Amazing!
And, you know, they really love the college a lot. But I'm going to be moving into the house here on the square, number 15, in the next few weeks. And so I've decided that in order not to rattle around on my own, I'm getting a dog. So the director will be getting a dog.
This is exciting.
It's exciting, and it's been chosen and the deposit paid, and she will arrive at the end of December. And she is a black and silver miniature schnauzer. And I'm looking for names.
Okay.
I'm about to do a little poll around with members to ask some suggestions for names. So she's only 3 weeks old at the moment, but by the end of December, she'll be 9 weeks and here.
And you know, so many members, myself included, would be so keen to walk little
you can come by
nameless dog. Excellent.
To walk the nameless one and spend some time with her. I'm sure she'll love it, I'm sure.
That would be brilliant.
And have you been up to the Burn?
I have, yeah. Mm. I went, the Burn has a management committee, and I went for the management committee meeting, but it was literally a day in and out.
Uh-huh.
It was a busy time. But I'm going back in December for 2 or 3 days, and I'm timing that with the chaplain's visit with some members. And the reason for that is because, of course, I want to get to know and learn about the Burn, but I also want to kind of see it in action. I don't think there's any point in going when the house is empty. I want to see it when it's full of people and see how it works. So I'm going up again. It's beautiful. Have you been?
I haven't been yet, but I'm hoping to get up in the new year.
Good.
Yeah.
What about you, Storm?
No, I feel like I've gone
by... You've been here a year now.
I know. My dad is Scottish, so I go to Scotland a lot. But,
okay.
But I really would love to go to the Highlands, yeah.
It is remarkably beautiful,
mm-hmm.
that place, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even I got a sense of it even in that day. You can just imagine... unwinding there. And I know that the members council go when they've all been elected for a day or two, and some of them have shared with me that I think David, who's been previously, just said it was the most incredible time to actually spend time together and feel like you were away from the frenetic pace of London.
Yes, the work. No, I'm very keen to go. We should go. And Rebecca, if you could become a student again, which you might, you never know.
Oh, yeah.
I
never know.
And come to Good Enough as a member.
Yeah.
Or as a student member.
I don't know if I get in.
You would definitely
get in.
Okay,
well,
100%.
Yeah.
Right.
We'd put in a good word.
Okay.
You've been
good.
A podcast guest,
you
so that sounds good.
So,
yeah.
So what societies do you think you would join if you could redo that all?
Well, I went to the Clubs and Societies Fair.
Mm.
That was my first
brilliant.
Event. That was my first time to kind of see... the members in action, and
mm-hmm.
boy, were they in action.
I know.
Yeah,
hustlers.
Sure were.
Serious
yeah.
hustlers.
Yeah.
Brilliant. There were many things I would want to join. There are things I want to join that I simply can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to join the Baking Society because I'm rubbish at that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to join the Running Society because I'm also rubbish at that.
Okay.
Just to see if I could get better. I'd love to join the fencing.
Mm.
That was really appealing. Although someone said to me, you have to be able to kind of squat a lot to thrust. I thought that sounded like hard
it's
work,
all,
so I'm not... Are you
it's much... No, well, you see, I was during my Lord of the Rings phase. I
okay.
kind of was like, I'm going to be, you know, Aragorn.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know,
this was last
great.
Year, right?
Well, this was last year. Yeah, this was a couple of years ago, and I thought it would be all like the movies, but actually, exactly as you
it's
say...
It's very hard work.
There's a lot of squatting. There's
yeah.
a lot of, like... you know, kind of leaping up, and it's
yeah.
all very, it's all very kind of rule based as well.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's not really as kind of fun as it looks.
No.
So, yeah.
I think it's hard work. Other ones would I want to join? God, there were so many.
Well, that's a lot
yeah.
already. Running, baking.
And
I
was talking to some members, and they would come up to me and I'd say, what have you joined? And they had like lists of 10 or 20, and I, how on earth? When you find time to do all of that on top of the study that you're doing.
I know.
And they're saying, well, you know, some things I'll engage with and maybe
yeah.
others will fall away. I'd like to join the choir, that would be another one.
Oh, yes.
Because I think that they're fantastic. I think the Good Sirens are well beyond me. They are amazing.
They are
really,
really,
really
good.
Really,
you know the way
yeah.
you kind of think, oh, I'm sure they'll be, oh my God. Yeah,
yeah.
They're really
they
like
are.
Those.
And
absolutely incredible.
Their leader, Tamar, is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just so passionate about
yeah.
it too. And there's an Irish harpist too, isn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah, I think I'm giving Tara a shout out in every podcast at this stage, but she's, yeah, she
fantastic.
Plays the harp. And
it's, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you get a chance
beautiful
to see
instrument.
Her play.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. I went to the end of Inter Spirituality. Was it Interfaith Spirituality Week? Went to the end concert here. I don't know if you
yes.
went. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
No, the good enough members are very undercover with their amazing skill set.
So true.
And I quite like that, because then you meet someone and they surprise you and they're just very humble about it. And
I wonder, how that... Because certainly, as the director, you go to an event and you see these people that you walk around seeing. Freddie's getting a cup of coffee, yeah, and they are singing their heart out or playing an instrument in a beautiful way or doing whatever they do,
mm-hmm,
brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Rebecca, as we entered your beautiful office, we saw this lovely sign that says the same for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then next to it, there's a picture frame with, is it the original sign or sign where
it's
you got the
idea? It's one of the original signs.
Could you tell our listeners about that?
Sure, yeah. Well, the original, this is by a Scottish artist called Nathan Coley.
Okay.
Very, very renowned Scottish artist. And we commissioned him in our European capital of culture to come to Denmark and to create a piece that is a commentary on Danish life, really. He's done many pieces around the world and been in many different biennales and things, where he makes a commentary that is thought-provoking. It looks like a kind of simplistic statement, and these big signs that he creates are on scaffolding, and they look like those fairground lights, these big kind of bulbs he creates them. But then where he places the signs is actually the most interesting thing. So he created 10 for our year in different municipalities across central Denmark, and we put them outside thought-provoking places. So his comment, the same for everyone, after spending a lot of time in Denmark,
wow,
is it really the same for everyone in Denmark? So we put this outside City Hall, we put it outside a mosque,
wow,
we put it outside a community or comuna of people, wow, who live together, who work on the basis of the same for everyone. So really it was a provocation, as well as a commentary,
mm-hmm,
potential commentary on Danish life. And he created one for me and a couple of other members of the team as a thank you after the year. And that's what that is an edition of, which I put up here because I believe in it. So that's why it's there.
Love that.
It is. It's a really beautiful thing. And he was an amazing artist to work with. He is an astonishing artist, actually. So have you ever come across some of his other stuff?
The fact that he's Scottish, I'm really keen.
Okay,
yeah.
It's Nathan Coley.
Nathan Coley.
But that was just one of many pieces that we did, because the year was also based around, not only around the values, but we wanted to do projects that were about celebrating, that were about contemplating, and that were about provoking.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also worked with Jenny Holzer, the American artist who worked with Danish refugees to create poetry, which we scrolled over buildings. We worked with Barbara Kruger, another fantastic artist, who did a piece on greed, just filled the entire gallery with thought-provoking comments and,
mm-hmm,
statements about really what is materialism and greed all about in the world today, and it's mad consumerism that we have. So we worked with some really fantastic artists, and our artist in residence was Anoni, who was formerly Anthony Hegarty of Anthony Noah Johnson's. And she spent the year with us just creating the most extraordinary work. And at the end of the year, a concert with the August Symphony Orchestra of existing and new work, which was just intensely beautiful. So, I had a very privileged year. It was hard work, but I got to work with some really amazing people, Nathan included.
Wow.
Well, Rebecca, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today. It's clear that your vision for Good Enough is informed by your very diverse experience that you've had, and we're very lucky to have you.
You really are. Thank you for coming to Good Enough.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and it was a lovely conversation. Thank you. I hope you have more.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks so much.
Hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah, we certainly had fun recording it, and we are always on the lookout for new podcast guests.
Absolutely. So do not be shy. Come approach us. Alex is the good-looking one with glasses with the beautiful Irish accent.
I'm blushing.
And you can pop us an email at the
goodcastpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, drop us a Facebook mail, or make like a sublet and put it in the Good Enough Facebook group.
Exactly. Brilliant. Have a lovely week, everyone.
Yeah. Kill it.